We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
The Chicago Bulls select Kobe White.
LaVine with the runway.
Get up or get out the way, Trae Young.
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We're part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm Ricky O'Donnell. I'm here as always with Jason Pat. And Jason, we finally have a happy Bulls game to talk about after we just had a pretty sad post-mortem about the Bulls in our last episode with the mailbag. From listeners, the Bulls come out and play their most exciting game of the season. There's no doubt. It was a 129-116 victory over the Pelicans. A bunch of history being made in this game. The Bulls break the franchise record for most threes hit in a game. They go 25 of 47 from three, hitting 53.2% of their three-point attempts. Zach LaVine and Kobe White did all the heavy lifting. They are the first teammates in NBA history to each hit at least eight three-pointers in a game. Kobe goes 8 for 17. Zach goes 9 of 14. The Splash Brothers never did this. No one else ever did this. Kobe and Zach, a little bit of history for them. And damn, man, like this just came at the perfect time because after dropping that game against the Wizards, after splitting against the Magic and the Knicks when you thought the Bulls really had an opportunity to, make up a little ground in the standings, this was a super fun game to watch. And yeah, it was just a breath of fresh air, considering that, you know, the last week or so of the season had kind of been a downer.
Yeah, absolutely. It kind of felt like the season was about to go off the rails for sure with the injuries and just the team. You mentioned the games that they just lost, the Wizards, the Magic, like losing those games. You're like, oh, here we go again. Like this season's going to shit. And then they come out and they hit their first eight threes. I think Zach hit five out of those eight. Even Garrett Temple, who'd been in a big slump, hits a couple early. They hit their first eight threes. They score 44 points in the first quarter. They're looking great. But then even in the middle of this game, and this game was just absolutely crazy. In the middle of this game then, second quarter, the Bulls get outscored 40-22, and they're down eight at half. And I'm like, all right, they're about to get their ass blown out. Like this, it's here we go again. Like as good as they shot almost 60% in the first half. They hit 14 threes. Zach is on fire, and they're still down eight at half. It's like, all right, well, they're just going to end up losing this game by like 15 to 20 points. Instead, they come out in the third quarter, and they win that quarter 40-14. Kobe White, that's when he really caught fire, hit five of those three-pointers in that third quarter, just wide-open looks. And obviously, we talked a lot about Kobe White in our last pod, and he had been really down, and a lot of the conversation around him is, should he be benched? Do they need to stop the point guard experiment with him? And yesterday, he had 30 points and seven assists. He hit all those threes. But obviously, you watch that game, and he was just getting wide open spot up threes, which is what he can really do well. Over and over again, the Bulls deserve a lot of credit for their ball movement. 36 assists. Shout out to Jim Boylan, would be proud to get over 35. Pelicans' defense was atrocious. The Bulls were getting just, again, like almost every other possession, they're getting wide open looks. And Kobe White was a big factor in that. Just spot up threes over and over and over again, and credit to him for knocking them down, for hitting eight of them. But he didn't have to do much like off the dribble. He was in his comfort zone, clearly very confident in just burying threes, and that's where he's obviously at his best. Just making it rain from three. And then they took it like an 18-point lead in the fourth quarter, and they held on and never really got that close after that. And then besides Kobe, I mean, Zach was just on fire from the beginning. He had 20 points in the first quarter. Like I said, I think he had his first five threes, just absolutely toying with the Pelicans defense, whoever they were throwing on him. I know he took Lonzo to school a few times. Lonzo did look pretty good in the first half in a possible audition, but he was mostly invisible in the second half. But just an incredible display of shot making by Zach and Kobe and even a few other guys. I mentioned Temple. Denzel Valentine hit 4 3-pointers with his ridiculous heaves that he somehow makes. There was a funny moment. Apparently, Temple was supposed to start for Denzel, but Billy Donovan made a mistake, and then Denzel started, and Billy ended up pulling him, and everyone was confused. But both those guys had good games. Sadrans came off the bench and had 7 assists in like the first 9 minutes in his first stint. Temple had 7 assists himself as well. I mentioned they had 36 as a team. So just a great team win with their ball movement, with the shot making, and just a lot of fun. And like you said, this was a game they definitely needed, because if they would have lost last night, and then they got the Clippers coming up, the schedule does toughen up a bit more coming up here. Like, again, it would have been like, here we go again. This season is just totally useless. But now Bulls are feeling good about themselves. Again, this was just a game where also just like one of those nights they're making everything. But they did some really good things with their ball movement and their passing and all that kind of stuff. So hopefully they can keep that going against the Clippers on Friday.
Yeah, man, I think a big key for the Bulls moving forward is going to be making sure they hit 25 threes in every game. Yeah. If they do that, they should be just fine. But no, it was awesome to see them get hot and just at the rate at which they were shooting threes. Like, Kobe took 20 shots, 17 of them were threes. Yeah. The team in general took 81 shots and 47 of them were threes. So they were just overwhelming the Pelicans with three-point volume. It certainly helps when they're going in, and Zach and Kobe for a while there couldn't miss. You were totally right that this game, for a minute, just seemed like it was going to be a classic Bulls collapse type of game we saw so many times last year after such a bad second quarter. Essentially, the Bulls looked great in the first. It was like shit in the second. They looked great again in the third. They win that third quarter 40-14. What a change of pace from the Boylan era, right? When this is what was happening to the Bulls previously. Like, the Bulls were getting blown out in the third quarter. It's so nice to, like, have a coach who can go into halftime and actually, like, get the team going in the second half. Like I said, it's huge when they're making shots. And Kobe was right. The biggest part of that quarter. You're absolutely right that Kobe was doing most of his work off the ball. I swear he was getting so many open looks just off like relocation threes.
Yeah.
Off like, you know, offensive rebounds.
Yep.
So this was not the case of like Kobe beating drop coverage off the dribble or something. Like, this was Kobe just the ball finding him basically wide open on the perimeter and him knocking down the shot. So I think he definitely needed a game like this. He also had 7 assists. Because before the game, Donovan gave some comments about, like, well, whether he's starting or not. And he said that him and Kobe had some tough conversations lately. And, you know, he always seems to, like, challenge Kobe in the media while still being supportive of him. And that's one thing I really like with Donovan's approach to the team. You know, we had Cody on, and he was talking about how he will be a little gentler with Wendell, who struggles with some confidence issues, but Kobe tries to like push him a little bit more publicly. So I think that has all been really good. And man, even Denzel, who wasn't supposed to start this game and got the quick hook, he even looked really good. He had 16 points. He goes 4 of 8 from three. So the Bulls just had everything working. The ball movement was great. The shooting was incredible. I love the volume at which they were shooting threes. And you know, in general, this was probably the most fun game of the season.
Yeah. And back to the Kobe thing as well. I tweeted this at halftime when they were down 8. Like, Kobe, like, played decently well in that first half, but the Bulls got crushed with them on the court. They were a minus 22. Him and Zach were struggling defensively. It wasn't just them. Like, the entire team was struggling to contain Zion. Lonzo had 19 points in that first half. Ingram had a big first half, but then they kind of locked down in that third quarter. That Daniel Gafford had a really nice third quarter with blocking some shots at the rim. Some of it was just the Pelicans missing. Ingram was, I think, 0 of 7 in the quarter. They just completely fell apart. But I tweeted that, like I mentioned, that Kobe was minus 22 in that first half despite shooting pretty well. But that the defense matters, because as we talked about, the Zach and Kobe backcourt duo is maybe the worst in the league. But the third quarter, you get stops, you start making some shots on the other end, and the confidence starts coming, and it just kind of built and snowballed into a totally dominant third quarter where they win it by 26 points, and the game was basically over. So obviously those things kind of go hand in hand. Sometimes you build that confidence with stops, you make shots on the other end, and that was it. And then the Bulls played just a really fun, like you said, fun overall game. Like, I don't think we can like make any grand things like about Kobe White as a point guard and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, consistency has been an issue with him. He's had these stretches before. We've seen him get hot in these types of games. I think, as we just talked about, like the types of shots he was hitting and all those spot-ups, the offensive rebound stuff that you mentioned, I think he hit at least two or three off long rebounds and just the ball finding him again. So I think the Clippers game will be really interesting to watch on Friday if he has to go up against Patrick Beverley, if Kawhi ever gets on him. I know Paul George, I believe, is going to be out for this game tomorrow, but it'll be interesting if he can string together a few games. We did see that at the end of last season, but then he comes in and he's been really struggling this season until yesterday. He has his best game of the year. So let's really hope Kobe White can build on that because, we've been very critical of him. A lot of people are losing patience with him. He is only 20 years old. It is easy to forget that sometimes, but so it was nice to see him just kind of catch fire and really gain that confidence. He seems like definitely like a confidence player where he starts going, he sees a few go in, and he just looks a lot better, especially when he's just taking those pull-up shots and those spot-up shots, not pull-ups.
Do you think that the Lonzo Ball rumors lit a fire under Zach and Kobe at all? And second part of that question, Lonzo, pretty good game, 34 minutes, finishes with 21, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. Did last night's game change your perception at all of what the fit would look like with Lonzo Ball on the Bulls if it were to happen? Do you still think it would be a good fit?
I mean, the way he played in that first half, he looked great. He was aggressive. He was driving to the basket. He finished a few times. He shot like 5 free throws, which is like, I think like a third or a fourth of the free throws he shot all year. He looked good shooting threes. Again, he was mostly invisible in the second half, but the Pelicans in general just fell apart in that second half. But I mean, he looked really nice, and like that'd be the way he was moving the ball, the way he was shooting the ball, the way he was being aggressive. Like I think that would look really nice on a Bulls team, where especially if they're playing smaller lineups, maybe they're going 3 guard lineups, and they're looking to whip the ball all across the court. Like I think that would make sense, and it almost seemed like he was giving it an audition in the first half, and maybe Zach and Kobe did take that personally at halftime. They're like, we're getting our ass shown up by this guy who we got trade rumors, like. Especially Kobe White, like if the Bulls trade for Lonzo, like is Kobe going to move to the bench and Lonzo's going to take a starting spot, and Kobe comes out and hits 5-3 on their heads in the third quarter. So maybe that did play a part of it. You never know with those kind of things, but I mean, they certainly responded well to Lonzo kicking their ass in the first half.
Yeah, definitely. So looking ahead, next game against the Clippers, Paul George has been out for the Clippers lately, and they haven't looked great without him. The Bulls played the Clippers very well in their first meeting this year, so that should be a good test. Like, the next 4 games against the Bulls, you're home against the Clippers, at the Pacers.
Pacers have looked like shit.
Pacers have been bad lately, but at the Hornets, and then at Philadelphia, and that's their one ESPN game. All year, or at least in the first half of the schedule, which is the only thing that's been announced yet, is against the Sixers. So going to be a very interesting, little next set of games. And you still have the trade deadline that's about a month away. To me, the Bulls still need to do something rather than just
last night's game doesn't change that.
Last night's game doesn't change that, but, I think a natural jumping off point here could be the LaVine All-Star campaign because it's only picking up more steam after last night. He was absolutely ridiculous last night, 46 points, 9 three-pointers, 7 assists, or 7 rebounds, I'm sorry. Do you think that Zach deserves to make it? Do you think he will make it? What's your read on Zach LaVine for All-Star this year?
I think he definitely deserves to make it. He's averaging 28-5-5. His true shooting percentage is 65%. Career highs just like all across the board with this stuff. He's almost 52% overall shooting, like 42-43% on high volume three-pointers. And we know he takes a steady diet of very difficult ones. So again, that's like a 65% true shooting on like a 30 usage. I'm pretty sure I saw a tweet earlier. I don't have it up in front of me, but like this is stuff that like, looking at his numbers and his efficiency, like the combination of it that like maybe like 5 to 10 guys have ever done in like league history. Just like his scoring has been absolutely insane. I know, as we've talked about, he has had some issues in the clutch, which is just like and the defense is a thing too, but like you look at his clutch numbers, he's at like 34% in the clutch, and we know he has a huge usage of that. That's like the one downer. It's kind of crazy like how efficient he's been all season, but then you look at those clutch numbers and it's just not good. Like if he would have hit like maybe a couple of these like potential game-winning shots instead of missing them, and the Bulls have a few more wins, Like, I think that's like definitely a no-brainer, because I think one of the issues with him and like the all-star voting has been the Bulls have been so shitty that like teams just kind of, or people, voters, all whatever, they just kind of look, they just kind of look past him and think, oh, I know he's just getting numbers on a bad team. But like, especially now with these injuries going on now and with the schedule coming up, if the Bulls are able to stay afloat and Zach keeps putting up these big numbers, I feel like that could really help him. On the other hand, I do actually, I'll bring up first how there are the second round of voting totals just came out. Zach is fifth in guards voting, which I think is pretty decent, behind Beal's number one, Kyrie, Harden, Jaylen Brown, the top four for guards. Zach number five, ahead of Trae Young, actually, which I'm actually kind of surprised about. But so like, he's not going to be a starter, obviously. So then you look at the coaches voting, like, I would hope that he's starting to get appreciated a bit more. I can see a scenario where he does, where he still does get snubbed, unfortunately, because the field is pretty tough. I was going through this last night. If you look at it, like, you look through the top teams, you figure the Sixers will get at least two. Embiid's a lock. Simmons is not being voted high, but you figure Simmons probably gets voted in by
Tobias
the coaches.
Could make it too,
Tobias
maybe.
Harris. I think Zach LaVine should get over Tobias Harris. Yeah. I know the Sixers are really good, best team in the East, whatever, but like, he's a third wheel. If you put Zach in that spot as well, I mean, he's also going to put that. I mean, he's putting up those kind of numbers now, even better on higher usage. So, like, I think it'd be ridiculous if Tobias Harris made over Zach LaVine. But you figure two, they get two. The Bucks are going to get Giannis and Middleton. Middleton is also putting like a 50, 40, 90 season right now, like six rebounds, six assists. So he's going to get in. So that's two there. You figure all three Nets guys are getting in. I know they had, like, Harden hasn't been there the whole time. Kyrie's missed some time, but like, I feel like they're going to get in. The Celtics will probably get both Tatum and Brown. So after those like four teams, that's already nine guys. So then you're left. Beal's going to start, it looks like, and he's the leading scorer in the NBA. I mean, you could argue Zach's been just as good as Beal this season, even if his points are a bit down. Like, he's been more efficient. The Wizards are a joke, but I have a feeling Beal gets in. You look at Trae Young. Trae Young is putting up similar scoring, not as efficient, but he's also averaging the nine assists. His advanced numbers are better. His on-off numbers are much better. So that's Trae Young. So that's 11 ahead of Zach. If you assume that this is how it plays out, so would Zach get the final spot? I mean, you look at, there are other guys out there. I mean, you look at we mentioned Tobias Harris. If he's there, you mentioned you talk about Nikola Vucevic. You look at Julius Randle,
Gordon Hayward,
anybody from the Raptors. I don't think Jimmy will get in from the Heat. I don't think he's missed too much time. Like Bam, maybe he's having a nice season. The Heat record is not that great. There's just a lot of competition there. Sabonis on the Pacers. I think Zach should make it over Sabonis, but I mean, he'll be there. The Pacers falling apart probably helps Zach's case here. So like, he definitely deserves it. It's just like, I could easily see him not getting it, which is super unfortunate considering just the historic nature of his scoring and his efficiency so far this season.
Yeah, he wants it so bad. And the organization wants it so bad. I think that, you know, when Stefan did that breakdown of Zach in the clutch, I feel like Zach is just, I have no other way to say this, he's horny for greatness. He just wants to be great. He wants to be the hero at the end of the games. And he's been incredible throughout the entire season. I think that, you know, a lot of this is maybe like his Kobe fandom and probably his Jordan fandom growing up. Just like wants to be that guy. And I think, you know, from the organization's perspective, finally, like, it's not Garpax anymore, but I'm sure that, like, the Reinsdorfs would love to say we traded Jimmy Butler for an all-star, even though, like, the two all-stars are not created equal at all. Jimmy's still a much better player than Zach at his peak, even though Zach is putting up these ridiculously efficient scoring numbers just in terms of overall impact. Jimmy clearly the better player. But Zach's had a great year, and I think that it would be awesome for him personally. Like, you saw someone like Devin Booker last year who like wanted it really badly. Lillard in the past has been in this situation. And I think, you know, Zach's numbers, he deserves it. Personally, I don't know. Like, I think that whoever has the best season should get it. Like, I'm trying not to let my fandom get in the way of this All-Star vote, because like you said, it is a very tough field. You know, especially with all the talent that's come in the East via the Nets. Like, last year there was no Durant and James Harden to worry about in the East, and now Zach has to compete against that as well. So I hope he gets in. I think that it would be a good thing for the organization to finally have like some bit of like positive momentum, because, you know, they've had nothing since the Butler team. There isn't one thing they can hold up, unless it's the 7-game winning streak that ruined their draft pick led by Nikola Mirotic before they traded him and ended up with Chandler Hutchison. So It would be awesome if it happened. And yeah, I think Zach's going to need to keep it up. And it really feels like Zach has to pop off for 35 each night for the Bulls to have a chance. And he's very much up for that task.
Yeah, he's been incredible. I also would like to, I'll bring up the Hornets. Gordon Hayward is also another candidate. If you want to throw LaMelo in there, I mean, Zach should make it over both those guys. But again, just kind of pointing out how deep the field is and how the competition here, it's going to be tough. I think he does deserve to get in. I don't know if he's actually going to. We will see. There's still, I mean, the All-Star game is supposed to be in like a month. I'm not totally sure exactly when they're announcing this, when that's going to happen. I think there'll probably be like one more like voting totals. Again, Zach's not going to start, but I mean, he's pretty high up there for the guards. We'll see if the coaches reward him. Again, I do think these next, like this next week or two could be really huge. If the Bulls can win some of these games shorthanded and Zach puts up big numbers, he'll be very hard to ignore, especially when the one big argument has been like that the Bulls just don't win enough games. And if they're kind of right there, especially shorthanded, he will have a great shot. You mentioned guard packs. So let's wrap up really quick here. I totally forgot that Gar Foreman is now a member of the Pelicans front office. Our guy Joe Colley did bring that up last night. I saw the tweet this morning, which is absolutely hilarious. Maybe the Bulls had a little extra revenge game factor in them going against Gar Foreman's dumbass. I totally forgot that. I thought that was a really, really funny subplot to this game that I had totally forgotten about.
Yeah, you got to wonder how Gar and Paxson feel after watching Kobe and Zach shoot like that. And I'm sure that Boylan...
Insert that the gif of them pounding fists.
Yeah, I'm sure Boylan was super jacked up for it too. So, you know, but that's the type of game you got to celebrate. That's why we're doing this podcast, yeah, because absolutely, there haven't been very many high points in the season, and that was one.
It certainly was. Yeah, we weren't planning on doing it, but after a game like that, the Bulls make some history. It was a lot of fun. We figured we'd get on here and do a quick emergency pod. And with that, that'll be it for us this episode. We wanted to keep it short. Just wanted to talk about this game. We wanted to talk about Zach LaVine's All-Star campaign. So again, Bulls got the Clippers coming up tomorrow on Friday night. That's a home game, and then they don't play again until Monday. Then against the Pacers, I believe it was. And we'll probably do another pod in the next, maybe after those next couple games. So as always, shout out to the Blue Wire Network. Go check out all the great pods all across the network. For us here at Cash Considerations, please rate and review us. You know where to find us on Twitter as well, at @Bulls_J, @SBN_Ricky. As always, give us feedback. Let us know anything we can do on the pods, anything you want to hear, all that kind of good stuff. Rate and review us wherever you listen to your pods. So for Jason and Ricky, this has been an emergency pod of the Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We'll talk to you guys next time. And go Bulls.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.